Let's read together Isaiah chapter 5, verses 8 through 30. Now in this section of Isaiah chapter 5, six woes are pronounced upon God's people Israel and Judah for turning away from the Lord and pursuing sinful activities. Let's begin by reading verses 8 through 10. Isaiah chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. Woe to those who join house to house. They add field to field, till there is no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. In my hearing, the Lord of hosts said, truly many houses shall be desolate, great and beautiful ones, without inhabitant. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and a homer of seed shall yield one ephah. Let's begin our study this evening with some background notes. In verses 1 through 7 of Isaiah chapter 5, we have the parable or song of the vineyard. In the parable, the vineyard is Israel, which in Isaiah's day consisted of both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. The Lord had planted this vineyard and expected it to produce good grapes, but instead it produced wild grapes. Therefore, the Lord said that he would let the vineyard go to ruins. This is certainly a prediction of the coming conditions in Israel and Judah, as God will allow the foreign nations of Assyria and Babylonia to come in and take over God's special land and God's special people. Now in verses 8 through 30, we have six woes pronounced upon God's people for their sins. Every one of these woes of this six-point indictment of Israel certainly has an application for today. And that brings us to our doctrinal teaching point for this section of Isaiah chapter 5. God pronounces woes upon his wayward people. God pronounces woes upon his wayward people. Now we have six subpoints corresponding to the six woes. So subpoint A, woe to those who are materialists. Woe to those who are materialists. Verses 8 through 10. In these verses that we just read, God pronounced woe on those in Israel that were buying up all the real estate with no concern for the housing needs of the less fortunate. Meanwhile, the rich landowners lived in their isolated mansions on big spreads of the land. Verse 8. This materialism was wrong. And when the captivity came, these big houses and mansions would be empty, and the land would be unproductive and would not yield much in the way of grapes or grain. Verses 9 and 10 once again. One bath of wine for 10 acres and one ephah of grain for a homer of seed was very slim pickings and not very productive. Now, do you see the application for today? As God hated materialism then, so he hates materialism today. When will we ever learn to obey the Lord and be content with what we have? I'm reading Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Be content with such things as you have. Hebrews 13, 5. Woe to those who are materialists. Subpoint B. Woe to those who are drunkards. Woe to those who are drunkards. Verses 11 through 17. Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them. The harp and the strings, the tambourine and flute, and wine are in their feasts. But they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people have gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore Sheol has enlarged itself, and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their magnitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. People shall be brought down, each man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God who is holy shall be hallowed in righteousness. Then the lamb shall feed in their pasture, and in the waste places of the fat ones strangers shall eat. You know, I'm glad that verse 11 does not just say, woe to those who rise up early or go to bed late. Aren't you glad about that? That would put a lot of us at fault, wouldn't it? The point here is that many in Israel and Judah cared nothing for the things of the Lord. All they wanted to do was party all day long. Music and alcohol from early morning to late at night. God is against this kind of lifestyle, then and today. As a result of this ungodly behavior, the people would go into exile and there would be no more partying. Instead, there would be famine and death. And many of these partygoers of Jerusalem would descend into Sheol, that is the place of the grave, verses 13 and 14. The exile would be a time of humiliation for every person, verse 15. But it would be a time of exaltation for the Lord, verse 16. Because as the land became empty of its wealthy inhabitants, and only a place for sheep and Bedouin shepherds, verse 17, it would prove that God was holy and righteous and judged according to what he had declared in his law. Subpoint C. Woe to those who are skeptics. Woe to those who are skeptics. Verses 18 and 19. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it. The skeptics and mockers within Israel were challenging God as to his promises and predictions. They doubted God's word. And as a result of this skepticism, they were hitched to the consequences of their sin as with a cart rope. Now we know that unbelievers are skeptics of God and his word. But what about God's people? Unfortunately, there are true Christians who doubt God's word. For example, they doubt God's ability to have created the universe without some kind of big bang. And some true believers have a hard time accepting the Bible as God's inspired word, free from human error. Woe to those who are skeptics. And more we could say. Subpoint D. Woe to those who call evil good. Woe to those who call evil good. Verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, if Isaiah was living in America today, he'd write the same words. Look at our movies and TV shows today. Evil is made light of and even made to appear good. The media can manipulate your emotions before you realize what you're doing. Did you ever notice how the sitcoms, because they are humorous, are able to get even Christians to laugh and be insensitive to certain sins? What would not even be tolerated 25 years ago is standard material today. Woe to those who call evil good. Subpoint E. Woe to those who are conceited. Woe to those who are conceited. Verse 21. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. There were those in Israel that would not listen to the prophets and the word of the Lord. They thought they knew it all and that they had all the answers. And they thought that they could solve all the nation's problems by diplomacy and treaties and that they did not have to rely on the Lord. Well, they were wrong. Just like a lot of know-it-alls today. When we listen to some of these clever politicians today, we should be reminded of this verse. Verse 21. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. These kind of conceited people who think they have all the answers are in the church as well. Be guarded against those who think they can solve all church problems without depending on the Lord. Woe to those who are conceited. And subpoint F. Woe to those who are unjust. Woe to those who are unjust. Verses 22 and 23. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. Go to just about any college fraternity house in this country today, and you will see an illustration of what Isaiah is talking about here in verse 22. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine. In the context, Isaiah is speaking about the judges in Israel who were unjust. Instead of being fair and just, they were taking bribes and determining justice by the highest bidder. Rather than thoroughly investigating the cases, they were spending their time in the clubs of those days getting drunk. God is against injustice at every level, including your area of ministry in Christian service. Let me ask you, are you fair in the way you treat people, in appointments and rewards? Or do you play favorites and have hidden agendas for your own advancement and praise, even though other people get stepped on and hurt in the process? Woe to those who are unjust. We've seen six woes that God pronounced upon his people, Israel and Judah, and they certainly all have their application for today. God pronounces woes upon his wayward people. What about further practical application from this section of Isaiah chapter 5? Let's not cause God to whistle. Let's not cause God to whistle. Verses 24 through 30. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness and their blossom will ascend like dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them. And the hills trembled. Their carcasses were as refuse in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. He will lift up a banner to the nations from afar and will whistle to them from the end of the earth. Surely they shall come with speed, swiftly. No one will be weary or stumble among them. No one will slumber or sleep, nor will the belt on their loins be loosed, nor the strap of their sandals be broken, whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent. Their horses' hooves will seem like flint and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring will be like a lion. They will roar like young lions. Yes, they will roar and lay hold of the prey. They will carry it away safely, and no one will deliver. In that day, they will roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks to the land, behold, darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened by the clouds. In this last section of Isaiah chapter 5, we read further about the consequences of Israel's sins. When the Lord would allow the enemy to come in and invade the land, it would be like a prairie fire consuming dry grass, verse 24. So many would die that the bodies would rot in the streets and not receive proper burials, verse 25. The Assyrians and later the Babylonians would come with well-trained armies and overtake the land, verses 26 through 28. As a roaring lion carries off its prey, so God's sinful people would be carried into exile, verses 29 and 30. When God said that he would whistle in verse 26, it would be to summon the foreign nations to come and invade Israel as God's discipline on his people. Let me ask you, is it possible that God must bring discipline into our lives because we've deliberately disobeyed him or rebelled against him in some way? Let's not cause God to whistle.